Welcome to the Punchline Podcast, a show about misguided entrepreneurship, where I'll share stories about the perils and pitfalls of starting a business. I'll discuss the not-so-pretty stories that no one tells you about when they start a business. I'm your host, Punchetta Sasha Wu, serial entrepreneur, mother to Priya and Peyton, goofy Gemini, bookworm, and super Dallas cowgirl. On this podcast, you'll learn how I started a business, fell down 7 times, and got up 8. Now I'm back and I'm stronger than ever. And I'm going to share how you can prevent some of the mistakes that I made in business. So if you're sitting, grab yourself some wine or beer and get ready to listen to The Punchline. You're listening to The Punchline Podcast, where I share stories about the perils and pitfalls of starting a business. I'm your host, Punchetta Sasha Wu, serial entrepreneur and business owner. On this podcast, I talk about all of the not-so-great stories that entrepreneurs never talk about. Oftentimes, the major gurus will tell you that they're making 7 figures, but they never tell you how many mistakes they had to make to get to those 7 figures. Therefore, many entrepreneurs start their businesses with an unrealistic expectation of immediate success in business, not knowing that over 50% of businesses fail in the first 5 years of operation because no one talks to them about how to properly scale their business. In most instances, new business owners don't even know what it takes to scale a business. They don't even know what it means. That's why I started this podcast, to teach entrepreneurs about the nuts and bolts of business and how not to make the same mistakes I made when I started. So are you ready to learn how to properly start a business? If so, let's get into it. Welcome to the very first episode of the Punchline Podcast. I can't believe that I've started a podcast, y'all. I guess it's really not that surprising if you know me, considering all of the other stuff that I usually have going on. I guess you can say it was inevitable. So here we go, child. I'm getting it started today. So I'm going to be breaking down why I started this podcast. This podcast will not just help other entrepreneurs, but explain how I fell in love with entrepreneurship. I really love the business of entrepreneurship. Even though I made a lot of mistakes while growing this brand and business, hopefully it will allow my listeners to get to know me better and how not to make the same mistakes in business. There are many, many misconceptions about me, about entrepreneurship that I want to discuss, and I hope to clear it all up for you today. So I'll be sharing a lot about myself, the business, the mistakes, and maybe and hopefully all of this stuff can help you on your journey of entrepreneurship. Either way, you'll walk away knowing a lot more about me and about the business, and hopefully you'll get to know me a little bit better and understand how entrepreneurship is and this experience can be for you and someone else's journey on their entrepreneurial journey. For now, you're just going to get the audio version of this podcast, but eventually I'll incorporate video as well, and you'll be able to catch the replays on my YouTube channel, Punch TV. In this episode, I'm going to share my vision for the future of this podcast, and I already told you that you'll learn more about me, Punchetta Sasha Wu Lanou, your host, and you'll hear how my unhappiness in my then marriage and career led to the creation of my first business. Plus, I'll give you a sneak peek at what to expect for this season. The first few episodes will mainly be focused on what I call the foundation basics of business and how it's easy to mess some things up in the beginning, worrying about all the wrong things. Then I'll get into the interviews with different entrepreneurs who started businesses in hair, makeup, retail, healthcare, and the restaurant businesses, just to name a few. They will discuss some of the mistakes that they made in their businesses and how they overcame. I plan to go deep by asking the who, the what, the when, the why, and how, because how else can you learn if not with specifics? Also, what worked and didn't work for them? I can tell you firsthand all that didn't work for me. And woo, child, I learned early that a lot didn't work for me or my customers. Finally, I'm going to end with an interview with an entrepreneur who received a PPP loan or grant, and we'll find out how it helped them or not. But I'm also interested in your feedback regarding any questions you may have for the entrepreneurs or the topics that we will try to cover on this podcast. So you can email me directly at punchcosmetics.com. Any questions you may have regarding these subjects or topics, Ponch is P-O-N-C-H at Ponch, P-O-N-C-H, cosmetics.com. I have an open door policy and I just love to hear from you. Also, each week on my social media, you can send me DMs and I'll also have a link where you'll be able to text me directly any questions or comments or feedback that you have for the podcast. And don't be shy. You have my permission to tell me exactly how you feel. If you like it or you don't like it, whatever the case may be, I can only improve based off of your feedback. So please do me a solid. Send me your feedback and your questions. I would love to hear from you. So before we get into interviews, though, I'll be laying what I consider foundation basics about business in the first few episodes. We'll discuss what I believe every entrepreneur should learn in the beginning. I could have used some help very early on. I wish someone would have pulled my coattail. Sadly, I was in school when I started my business and still didn't take advantage of all of the resources available to me then like I should have. More on that later, though. I'll share ways you should take advantage of any school resources or city resources you have available to you and how you can get access to such resources and more. Then we're going to dive into such topics as to whether or not you even have a business. I'll discuss the basic topics like building a product, discovering your MVP, your most valuable product, creating your USP, your unique selling proposition, building a team or at least finding a co-founder and evaluating your key metrics that can help you continue building and growing your business. These things are very important when building a business. Even more so than getting a trademark or getting your website or forming an LLC. Believe it or not, those details matter the least when you have a product-based business or a service business. You got to determine if people even want what you're selling and why. So next, I'll share what every entrepreneur should learn about business. Then I'll dive into what every entrepreneur should be doing every week in their business to drive results. Also, I'll tell you when or if you should be seeking investors for your business. So let's be clear. Just because you have a business that you feel is the next best thing doesn't mean that people are going to be knocking down your doors to invest in it. Trust me, it doesn't happen that way. There are a few more things that you need to do and have in place before you even get to that point. And finally, I'm going to tell you how to get media attention for your business. All of these things are the precursors, if you will, before we even get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast. And similarly, the meat and potatoes of your business. So that's how we're starting it off, popping it off for this season. So I hope you're excited or as excited as I am. But wait, I have more. I'm going to be telling you about me. So for the rest of this podcast, I'm going to give you some background information about my story. So allow me to fill you in. Ooh, child. Y'all got y'all wine ready? Because you're going to need it. I don't know why I feel like I'm about to share an excerpt from a tell-all. Probably because I am. There are parts of my story that probably feel like it could have been from a novel, some type of page turner. But I'm going to share some parts of it with you today. I'm going to share some things, not everything. But at some point I will. I'm very transparent and I don't mind sharing parts of my story with people because there's someone out there that will probably hear my story and know that you're not the only one. So I don't mind being transparent about some things because I hope to help someone else by allowing them to see that we're all out here just trying to do the best that we can, experiencing our own set of problems and issues and trying to deal with life. So I hope that my story helps or inspires someone because it's got some good, some bad, some ugly, and then some triumphs, some things that I overcame, and I'm proud of that. So here is my story. I grew up in a small town called Longview, Texas. It amazes me how many people I meet when I tell them that I'm from Longview and they try to pretend like they know where Longview is. To be honest with you, there is really not a lot there. It is a football town. Longview Lobos, shout out to the Longview Lobos. I was a Lobo. It's the high school there. I love it, and most people do. But Longview, it's in East Texas, and it's right dab in between Shreveport, which is east, 45 minutes going east on I-20, and then another 2 hours west to Dallas. And we're right in between the two. So in one direction, we're a small town. So when we went to town or when we went to the city, we either went to Shreveport or we went to Dallas. So that's a little Longview trivia for you. My grandmother moved there. My maternal grandmother, my mother's mother, moved there years ago. And I'll give you a little bit of background information about her because she kind of inspired me to be an entrepreneur. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's where I grew up, Longview, Texas. My parents, Ronald Glenn Thompson and Marianne Thompson, named me Punchetta Miyako Thompson. And everybody called me Punch for as long as I can remember. And it just irritates me when people try to pretend like they know me, but they spell my name wrong. My name is spelled P-O-N-C-H-I-T-T-A. It's not easy to spell, but I mean, if you know me, you know that's one of my little nuances that I get irritated about when people pretend to know me, but they spell my name wrong. Sis, you're going to see my name again. I promise you. Spell it right. Because I will get irritated. Spell my name right. It ain't that hard. P-O, not P-U. Now my friends yell Punchetta Miyako when they're trying to check me. So that's how I know people who really know me. They know my first, middle name, and they know how to spell it. So let me warn you, because I really don't like it when people call me Punch when they don't know me. Nicknames are personal. Proper etiquette dictates that one should ask permission or wait to be introduced by someone as a nickname before using a nickname to address someone. You can't just assume that's what a person wants you to call them, nor can you assume a level of comfort or familiarity with someone. So if I meet you and you walk up to me and I don't know you, yet you call me Punch, I'm going to side-eye you. FYI, you don't know me like that, sis, bro. So until I say, call me Punch, my name is Punchetta, and respect my gangster. Now back to the story. And that's a punchline, by the way. Okay? So my paternal grandmother would call me Punchy Poo. That's when I was a kid. And my daughters, the first time they heard it, they started to tease me with that crap. Calling me this will get you beat up. FYI, for real. Don't call me Punchy Poo, Punchinella Funafella, none of that crap. I don't like it. We grown. Call me by my name or my moniker, Punchetta Sasha Woo. And we'll talk about that. I'm going to explain all of that. So with a name like this, I was destined to have either a rough childhood or a blast, right? Well, luckily for me, for the most part of my childhood, I had a blast growing up, and my name would often precede me. So recently on my blog, I shared the origin of my name, Punchetta, which is a Hispanic name that is translated as Francesca or Francis. But if you call me that on the street, I'll shoot you. So I won't go into that right now. Just know I am sensitive about these names. Not really, but really though. So be careful what you call me or what you call anybody. So they say it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. Well, I'm answering to Punchetta, Punchetta Sasha Wu. And if I know you like that, I'll answer to Punch, FYI. Now, my middle name is Miyako. However, Miyako is Japanese, which means beautiful dark child, and also a Japanese city. Yeah, my late parents, Mary and Ronald Thompson, were on some real ish back then. But I like to think that my parents knew that with a name like Punchetta Miyako, I was destined to be a problem one day or a game changer. Either way, my name would stand out. And I've chosen to believe the latter, because what I do know for sure is that people were going to be talking about me one day. Therefore, my name was bound to be great and mentioned in rooms that were going to elevate me. Now, in regards to my moniker, Sasha Wu, that name was made just for me. I believe it in my spirit. So let me tell you why. I used to work with a chick who said that on a regular day at work, I was just good old Panchetta, the funny girl next door. On those days, nothing exciting was ever happening. They always knew it. It was just a regular day at the office, she said. But on game days, when the big bosses came, or when we had big meetings, or if I had big plans to go shake some things up, then I would transform into Panchetta Sasha Wu. And that's just how she said it too. On those days, that's when my wig was just right, my makeup was flawless, and I was boardroom sharp, child. And I was on too, just like a light bulb. At the same time, we had just completed a personality test on the job to determine what our gifts were. And I had discovered that I had the gift of woo. No surprises there, huh? So my coworker gave me the name Sasha because she said I reminded her of Sasha Fierce. And she replaced Fierce with woo because of my gift of woo. I loved it. So I changed my Facebook name to Panchetta Sasha Wu, and eventually my Instagram account got hacked and I changed it to Panchetta Sasha Wu as well. And that's how I got the name. And my followers are like, hey, Sasha Wu, what's happening? And I'll answer to that. Hey, girl, hey. So my parents would eventually divorce when I was 8 years old. And my mother packed me and my younger brothers, Jai and Toby, and took us to live with her mother on the south side of Longview, Texas, which would become the streets that raised me. Back then, South Longview was the ghetto, child. And it still is. Occasionally, they still have those shootouts right up the block from where our house is, right dab in the middle of the city. And my grandmother's house was right dab in the middle of the hood, just a street over from a park called Stamper Park, which is a staple in our community, even to this day. Shout out Southside. One love as I beat my chest. Even though we grew up in the hood, working class poor folks, we never knew it because our home was filled with so much love. My mother and my grandmother made sure that we didn't go without. My brothers and I had the best upbringing in the world, despite growing up with a bunch of women. We got the nurturing and love that we needed to thrive. My mother always said that's why she left our father, because she didn't want us growing up in a toxic home environment. So she took us to live with her mother in the hood. And even though it was chaos all around us, there was peace in our home for the most part. So my maternal grandmother was the first entrepreneur that I had ever known. And everybody knew her in my neighborhood in Southside. Her name was Lola Bell Wallace. And everybody knew her not because she was mean or didn't play, but my grandmother could cook. She loved everybody and treated them with respect. And everybody in our neighborhood knew Miss Lola. They just knew and loved her. She was one of those people when you knew her and you got to know her, you loved who she was. Now, if she didn't know you, she might seem like she was the meanest person in the world because she knew and had mastered the ability of how to control her tongue. Her favorite saying, and my cousins and I and my siblings, we say this all the time, your tongue is your worst enemy. And that's the reason why I never really learned that until later, till I got older, because I have always been a jabbermouth, always. But my grandmother would always tell us, less said is best said. And she did not talk when she didn't need to. And we learned very early that she took a lot of secrets to the grave because she didn't talk. She learned, I don't know what it was. Well, she grew up in the Jim Crow South, so I guess I do understand that. But as a result, she knew when to talk and when not to talk. And she said very few things if she didn't have to, but she was wise. She had an eighth grade education, and she was probably one of the smartest people I ever knew. She always called my aunt, who was very educated, who had 2 master's degrees, an educated fool. We would laugh about that all the time because she was just a woman of few words. But when she spoke, everything she said made sense. And She could cook her butt off. She actually named that same aunt that she called an educated fool after her. She named her Lola Belle. Ain't that country? That's a country girl's name for sure. But I loved my grandmother so much that I started to name my cosmetics brand Lola Belle, but later decided against it. I felt Punch had more power. And it does. So my grandmother ran a cafe about a fourth mile from our home. People would drive from all over to come try her cooking. Granny could throw down. She could give Sweetie Pies in St. Louis or Sylvia's in Harlem a run for their money any day. We always say, me and my cousins, that we missed out on our calling by not getting in the kitchen and learning her recipes and learning how to cook, because we could have our own restaurant right now with her food. Her food was amazing. My grandmother made the best banana pudding that I haven't met anybody that could touch her yet. And I've tried learning. It still doesn't touch hers. My grandmother could cook. And she had the best chicken and dumplings in the world. People would come and just ask for her chicken and dumplings. And her dressing, her chicken and dressing. So I'm from the South and everybody doesn't eat chicken and dressing. Some of you call it stuffing or whatever it is that you have. But just know, we have variations of that down here in the South. And my grandmother could give anybody a run for their money. So here's the story about my grandmother. My grandmother was from a really, really small town in Texas called Shelbyville, Texas. Very backwoods. Y'all know where Jasper, I know you've heard of Jasper. Jasper had the black guy that was hung and killed down there by a white man. He was beaten. Shelbyville is down close to Jasper. I think Jasper is maybe an hour or so from Shelbyville. It's real close. But nonetheless, my grandmother is from down that way. And she moved to Longview following her brother Money. That was his real name, M-O-N-E-Y. And I think it's important to say my grandmother and her brother both lived to be almost 100. My grandmother died when she was 89. Uncle Money died when he was 99. They lived to be old, old, old in age. And Uncle Money moved to Longview. Well, actually, Kilgore. Kilgore is right outside of Longview. It's adjacent. And he moved to Kilgore first before moving to Longview and buying his house here. But Uncle Money fled to Longview to escape being killed by a white man who he had beaten for assaulting his wife. He was told that if he didn't leave town, that he would not live to see the next day. So he left in the middle of the night going to Longview to just escape getting killed or lynched by some white men because he beat the white man up for assaulting his wife. That's how the story goes. So my grandmother followed a few years later, and that move would later seal their fate. They were both young when they moved to Longview. My grandmother lived to be 90 years old, like I said, and my great uncle moved. He lived to be 99, and they were thick as thieves, I tell you. So Uncle Money supposedly ran a juke joint back in the day, and apparently it was long before my time, because I remember when my grandmother had her cafe, the juke joint was no longer happening. My mother, aunts, and the people in the neighborhood would later tell me all about it, but my grandmother was the cook for the juke joint until she later opened her own cafe, Cozy Corner. So I remember Cozy Corner so well because I have a story about that as well, but this is about my grandmother. So my grandmother never owned a car. She would set out at 5 a.m. every morning and walk to work. She did that for 20 years or so until she retired in the 1980s. Granny would cook breakfast and lunch for her customers and gave them what's considered a full course meal for only $2.50. This was back in the 70s and 80s, of course. So I'm sure she started it in the 70s and just never raised her prices, but that's crazy. Did y'all hear what I said? My grandmother sold a full chicken fried steak with brown or white gravy and 2 to 3 sides, a drink, and a dessert. And not to mention, she had the best pound cakes in the world for only $2.50. And she walked to work every day at 5 a.m., rain, sleet, snow, or shine. And I guess that explains why we ain't never get out the ghetto until after she died. Child, let me tell you. My grandmother's food was so good that back in the day, she cooked holiday meals for congressmen, lawyers, doctors, and she was even featured in Texas Monthly before she retired. Both of my aunts have the magazine feature hung on their walls in their homes. I also have a copy of it, so I just need to frame it and hang it up, but I have that copy as well. We are really, really proud. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around how she managed to survive selling plates for only $2.50. Whew, luckily, we survived, but barely. So now this brings me to the very important topic of how to price your products so that you can make money. We definitely have to talk about that, because how can you make money if you undercut yourself with price? If you price your stuff too low, then the perceived value of your product is seen as low, and you'll never make a profit. Pricing sets the tone of your product in the market. But if you set your product too high, you better have the quality and the customer service that can justify that cost. And we're definitely going to revisit this topic later. Maybe if I had learned how to cook like my grandmother, then I could have been the next turkey leg hood or something. Well, I didn't learn how to cook. That was never, ever my passion. Not even to this day. I cook more now because I have to, but I never cared about cooking. But one thing is for sure. I don't care if my food tasted like rubber cotton. I wouldn't sell no plate for $2.50. Now that's a fact. Thank God cooking was not my passion though. But I would later discover what was. But much, much later. So now we're going to fast forward to high school. I went to Longview High School and was a pretty popular kid. I was a cheerleader for most of my life. That's why to this day, football is my favorite sport. I think I mentioned before that I'm a Dallas Cowgirl fan. I love the Cowboys. I live for them, but it's really only two teams that I just care about. I care about the Dallas Cowboys and I care about the Longview Lobos. I live in Houston right now, but until I die, I'm a Longview Lobo and I will always support them. As a matter of fact, I know some people will ask, how am I a diehard when I missed? We won a championship after maybe 20, 30 years, our first championship in 20 years or whatever, 30 years or whatever. And I missed the championship, but with good reason. I had a business event that day. And I guess as much as I love the Lobos, I love Punch Cosmetics better. I mean, more. I'm sorry. When it comes down to my business and the Lobos, it's going to always be my business. So on that particular day, when the Lobos won the state championship in 2018, I missed it because I was working. And everybody was there. Oh, I still have heartburn when I talk about it sometimes because I can't believe I missed it. But I missed it. But everybody knew Punchetta, or at least they thought they did. It was a blessing and a curse. I dated my high school sweetheart for 2 years before finding out that we were pregnant just one day before graduation and 1 week before my 18th birthday. I had to make some real grown-up decisions then, and fast. My then boyfriend, who would become my baby's daddy, and I decided that we would keep our baby girl. And 9 months later, we had Priya Michael. He would soon leave for college to attend Grambling State University, while I stayed behind and attended junior college at Kilgore College, right down the street from my house. I still had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, y'all. So before having my daughter, I had all these dreams of grandeur, of going off to college to become an attorney. Once my daughter came along, all that changed because I needed milk and Pampers. The last I checked, law school was about 7 or 8 years on down the line, and I didn't have that kind of time. So I eventually moved to Dallas, which is only about 2 hours from my hometown. I told you about that before. And I enrolled in school at the University of Texas at Arlington. And there I had the time of my life. By the time I was 21, though, I had found out I was pregnant again by my high school sweetheart. And I couldn't pay rent with one kid, much less two. So I had to quit school and go to work full time. Sometimes I wish I had stayed in school and thugged it out. I had so many things going on at that time that it really would have been impossible to focus. Work just seemed like the more viable option at that time. So once I get into the workforce full time, I try as hard as I can to make ends meet on my salary, but I just couldn't. I got evicted from a condo in Highland Hills. It's the hood, Dallas's infamous Oak Cliff neighborhood that I lived in to be closer to family and friends. I decided to finally move home after my eviction with my mom and my grandmother. As if things aren't hard enough, I was now broke, struggling, and single, by the way, because my kid's father and I decided to call it quits for good by this time. And I temporarily moved back into my childhood home with my grandmother and mother. Neither of them ever remarried. So unfortunately, this wasn't going to be my first time or the last, mind you. My childhood home is a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Many people who came from middle class upbringings or better will not understand how 5 people, sometimes 6, could cram inside a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom home. But not only did we do it, but we did it with pride, love, and respect. This shack of a house was filled with more love than some homes that I visited with 4 rooms and 3 bedrooms. It's not the size of the home, y'all. It's the size of the hearts that make the home. And 307 Park Street was all heart, all love, all the time. So even though I never really wanted to move home, I needed to. I knew that the move was best for my children. And Longview was a great place to raise children, actually. I had some of my best years in Longview. It just isn't a great place for young people because there isn't a lot to do. Not long after moving back, I got a great government job, making a very good living, and I was only 27 years old at the time. As I was settling into my new life, I met my then future husband, and we would later get married, much later. It was during this time that the entire trajectory of my life would change. So by this time, on the outside looking in, my life looked great. I had a great job. I was back at home with my mom, my grandmother, and my brothers were gone at this time. So it was just me, my mother, and my 2 kids, and my childhood friends that I grew up with back in my hometown, around people that I knew and had known all my life. And my life just really seemed like it was great. I had the job that I wanted. I was married to a handsome older man, and we lived a nice middle-class life. And on the inside, though, my life was pure hell, y'all. Technically, my ex-husband and I were married for 6 years, but realistically, we were never really married. Although we had been together for 12 long years, those years were not good, and ultimately, the marriage wasn't either. And that's how I'll describe my home life. Everybody knew us in town, and it was just a bad, bad situation. And I won't ever talk bad about my ex-husband in that situation because I played just a bigger part in the demise of the marriage. And not that I did anything just super bad, because I didn't. And I'm just being honest. I wasn't a cheater. And I say that proudly. I wasn't a cheater. I wasn't running around or doing anything, but I wasn't a great wife, and I was miserable. I didn't know how to be married. And then I didn't know how not to be miserable at that time either. So this was a very, very uncomfortable time for me in my life. And so, unfortunately, likewise, at work on that great government job that I had, it was no gravy train there either. Many people in my community knew me and knew I worked for the government because they could come by the office and see me at any given time. Therefore, many people thought that I had the perfect job, but I did not. During this time, I would go into the bathroom at work, cry until my eyes swelled. I got in trouble a couple of times because I would probably supposedly on break or on a bathroom break, but I was in there really crying my eyes out. And I cried until my eyes swelled, guys. I came out one time and I know my eyes were swollen. I had to leave and go home. That was the worst feeling. I hated going to work, and then I hated going home. It was difficult to wake up in the morning and go to work. But then when I looked around my house, I hated to be there either. I hated to be there as well. It was that bad. I was losing my mind, and I didn't know what to do. Now, my bosses on my job were some of the most evil people I had ever met in my life. I remember thinking that I knew that a certain somebody on the job didn't know God, because these people were committing the most egregious acts that only godless people could do and feel no sense of remorse. So, and their bosses were no better. Some of the things that they attempted to get away with was unbelievable and really inconceivable. I just would think, like, was the devil literally on this job? That's what I was thinking. That's how bad it was. So then I would go home from work and try to tell my ex-husband, who would often say that I was the problem. Here I was not getting any support at home or at work. And I felt like my life was spinning out of control. And around 2011, I started to look at my life and realize that this ain't it, y'all. I had been on my great government job for almost 10 years and married only 4. My ex and I had gotten together at the exact same year that I started my job. I started the most draining experiences of my life at the exact same time and never realized that the combined negative energy that was coming from each of these forces were killing me. So after being overlooked for dozens of positions, many times that I was overqualified for, I decided that it was time for a change. And I'll never forget how I prayed to God, asking him to put me in my purpose. I went back to school. I enrolled at the local university, Laterno University, and I majored in business. And while I was there, I took a marketing class and I was given a very important assignment. And now here is when my life started to change for the better. So I had to market a product that I loved and I knew a lot about. I had no idea what that was. But one day I had an aha moment when I looked at my dresser and I saw that I had almost every cosmetics product known in the market. So I chose to do my project on cosmetics. The rest is almost history. So on this project, I had to research all kinds of makeup brands, the major competitors in the market, customers, shoppers, retailers, the market, and the actual product. In the end, I did so well on the project that my professor encouraged me to launch. He told me that the cosmetics market was so big that he knew that they had room for one more. So I took his advice and I launched. In 2012, I launched my cosmetics line, Punch Cosmetics, during Thanksgiving weekend. I invited 100 of my peers and almost 50 people showed up and I made $1,000 at my first event. That's when I knew I had a shot. Later, I would discover something very important about what my professor was trying to teach me about passion and purpose. Remember that prayer that I had previously prayed? I thought that all these bad things around me were happening as a bad sign. Well, it turned out to be fortuitous. However, I wish I could say that it was easy after that, but I can't. And it wasn't. The year after I launched my business, my ex-husband filed for a divorce. I cannot lie. It hurt like crazy. But the only thing that helped me offset that pain was my business. While my heart was breaking and I was being dumped, my life was actually starting and I was having another baby. Not an actual live birth, but my business was birthing. My business was my new baby and I loved it as much as I loved my 2 children. I eventually dropped out of school a 3rd time, don't judge me though, to pursue my passion for my business. I set out to build and grow what became Punch Cosmetics. Right before my divorce, I held an event called the Faces of Beauty Extravaganza. And I'm going to share some details about this event that have never been shared because there was a lot of controversy regarding this event. Now I'm going to set the record straight once and for all. Faces of Beauty Extravaganza was my first fundraiser and marketing event. This is how I used event marketing to try to build my brand. And I suggest every other entrepreneur do the same. And I'm going to discuss why in another episode. Thanks for listening to this week's episode on the Punchline Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. If you want a free guide to how to start a business, then head on over to my website at thepunchline.com. That's www.thepunchline.com so that you can have it sent directly to your email. Be sure to tune in every Monday to our podcast so that you don't miss an episode. You can subscribe on Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Amazon Music. Until next week, talk to you soon.